was Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter.
Why did you pick number 11?
I wanted to be the number one elsewhere.
Dale Arnold.
I don't know. I mean, Taco is fun to watch. He makes me laugh. You know, some of the plays he makes are hilarious.
Look at Taco legs, bro.
Rich Keefe.
In 2017, I addressed it. Told you guys in front of the camera that I wish I'd have handled it differently. I did it again in 2018 in spring training on day one. Said the same thing. When we had a meeting, he backed out.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Well, if they're the Cleveland Browns, why are their uniforms orange?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So one of us has a newborn. One of us has a job. Basically, neither of us get to sleep
anymore.
No,
there's sleep optional, Dale. And we're here. There's no other place you'd rather be than a rainy Fenway Park on a Thursday midday.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Last night at Fenway, and it was probably about 5 to 6 somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like what
came
through.
Oh, I saw the picture
here.
You tweeted out. It looked ridiculous.
It was
that
like
they were gonna play a game.
Wall yeah. of water that came through here. And I was watching the skyline of Boston, and it was one of those, you happen to be looking in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And I watched lightning hit the tower on top of the Prudential Center.
That's how they create superheroes.
Just
that's what happens. You get up there, maybe you're just wanting to, you know, for the view. All of a sudden you get zapped by lightning on a night like last
night.
That's
the place to go catch the view in a storm like that.
Yeah.
Well, then it got, after that, and you saw the wall of water come through. Then I lost the Prudential Center. I couldn't even see it.
Yeah, it just fogged
we
over.
We couldn't see the Citgo sign.
And they're telling you guys, yeah, we're going to get a game in. We're going to get a game in. And they did. Unbelievable. I mean, it was like a half hour delay to start or whatever it was.
A lot
but
better than I expected.
I was shocked that you got out of there even at a decent hour last night.
And we saw a little tense affair here at Fenway.
It was. That's a good Blue Jays team.
Bad baseball
that's
team.
A scrappy Blue Jays team, Dale.
Scrappy,
that can score
that's
some runs.
The word, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it's one of those things. We talked about it even after the first game of the series. No style points at all for the Red Sox. It doesn't matter. They just need to put together some wins here leading up to the trade deadline, put themselves in a position to get back into the playoffs. So, yeah, the Blue Jays are one of the worst teams in the American League. There's no doubt. But you'll take 2 out of 3 so far, and if you get the win today with Chris Sale on the mound, again, not the prettiest, not the most dominant series, but 3 out of 4 for this game series at home, you'll take it.
We'll get to the story that was buzzing around.
Yeah,
here
there was
yesterday.
A bit of a story.
It was an interesting vibe in the clubhouse yesterday afternoon.
Yeah,
we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Okay.
Chris Sale goes to the mound today. We said last night on the broadcast that because of the plight of the bullpen, it was essential for Eduardo Rodriguez to give you some innings. And he did. To his credit, he kept you out of the bullpen for the most part. Poor Brandon Workman.
Oof.
I mean,
he had to work for that save, didn't he?
He threw 45 pitches last night.
Oh, yeah.
A 5-save out, which I was told we were trying to stay away from those.
You can't do it. Well, with a guy like that, you just burn him out. You don't even care. But, yeah, 5 outs, and he gives up a run. But thankfully, they were able to get that insurance run there, and that was the difference. And he gets a save. And that's the concern, is he's been the best reliever that they have.
Easily.
I mean, they've had to send down a bunch of the guys that you know. They have a bunch of guys that you're probably not that familiar with up here. Matt Barnes started the year well. He's really come back down to earth. He can't pitch back-to-back days.
And he pitched last night.
And so I don't love his chances today.
He's not available today.
Workman's not.
Workman absolutely won't be available today.
But Workman's been
their
best guy, yeah.
If you get to a closing situation this afternoon, who?
Evaldi.
Darwinson Hernandez.
Activate Evaldi. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. If you're up 1, 2, or 3 in the ninth inning, who gets the ball today? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. But they needed it last night. They needed to go to Workman early, and he was able to get out of a jam that he sort of created for himself, walking a couple of guys there. Again, kind of a white-knuckle save, but he got it, and he's been their most consistent guy in the bullpen.
The Pawtucket Red Sox are scheduled to play at 11 o'clock this morning down at McCoy. The reason that matters is that Nathan Eovaldi is scheduled to throw a rehab inning.
Right. And he could be back
at some point
soon.
During this game.
Cora was saying yesterday, OMF, he could be back real soon.
I think their plan is if today goes fine, if there are no hiccups, I think he's going to be in Baltimore.
And don't you think that it's going to be as a closer?
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
I absolutely don't.
Okay. Because I think that
I think it's going to be Brandon Workman as the closer for now.
I was going to say, but
Eovaldi,
I just wonder.
Isn't ready for that yet?
No, he may not be, but they don't have any. They have one option right now is Brandon Workman.
Right.
Like before Eovaldi gets activated. And
well, they might. And let's say Eovaldi was on the roster right now.
Yeah.
And you got to a save situation this afternoon. Then, yes, Eovaldi would be the guy going in. But I think the closer position, quote unquote,
Brandon
is going to be
Workman's
still. For now.
And so Eovaldi will be the highest paid setup man in all of baseball history.
Yes, by far.
Just so we're clear, he will be the eighth inning guy.
I mean, and some of that obviously is circumstance. Because he got hurt, I think they still considered him a starter. When they signed him, it was as a starter. You know, then the medical issues, he can't start. He can't get stretched out to that point yet.
But
at least want to get something out of it.
They want to be able to use him. You know, kind of similar. Remember going back a couple of years ago when David Price fought his way back and ended up being a reliever. You remember, and he actually pitched pretty well in the playoffs, but it was like, well, not as a starter, though. You know, this was a couple of years back. And so at least you got something out of him. And with Eovaldi, maybe that helps Cora a great deal. Maybe if he can stay healthy, it shortens the game for him. And so now if the starter goes 5 or 6, now you just need to take that group of AAA relievers that you have out there.
Yeah, you got a lot of them.
And they take the 7th, whatever
combination.
Probably right in between. And they have to figure out the 7th inning, and then Eovaldi and Workman can pitch the 8th and the 9th, and then you have a little bit more of a semblance of what a real bullpen is.
So I mentioned the vibe in the clubhouse yesterday afternoon, and a lot of it was because David Price decided he wanted to talk.
He sure did. First, then talk.
Well, what happened was, and I think it was Steve Buckley who went up to him and said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And he said, no, I want to do this all at one time.
Well, he was setting it up, you remember, because yesterday we were reading the tweets in response to the Eckersley comments and the Chad Finn article, and actually it was Alex Reamer's headline on EEI, and it was David Price responding to that. And then he said something to the tune of, today's going to be lit, hashtag stay tuned. And we were like, what does this mean? because we knew he wasn't pitching, so we're like, what does he mean? Is he going to address the media? So he clearly was prepared to do all of that. Like, at that point, late in the afternoon, or actually around lunchtime or whenever when it came out, and then he said, you know, I'm going to gather everybody at the ballpark and I'm going to talk about this again.
I became convinced as the afternoon went on that he never read Chad Finn's piece.
No.
He basically saw the headline of what Alex Reamer, and by the way, let's get this out of the way. Alex Reamer did exactly what you should do. You work for WEEI.com. Your job is to get people to click on the story.
No, I love all the people out there that are like, that's not how you do it.
No,
how you do
that's
it.
That's exactly what you do.
That is it. Everywhere you go, it's clickbait. That's what it is. And guess what? That part of the story I do find interesting. I think a lot of people find interesting. And I think Chad
Finn, it was such a small part of the story.
It was a very small part of the story. But to be fair, that was also relatively new ground. So far as I thought the Chad Finn article was good. I like Dennis Eckersley, but if you go to the documentary that was just on Dennis Eckersley, Dale, a lot of
Eck
that
on
stuff,
Eck it was called, by the way. That's kind of crucial to the story.
Yeah, we'll get to that part of it. We'll get to that part of it. But my point is we've sort of gotten some stories, haven't we, about Eck the player, everything that Dennis Eckersley went through on and off the field. Again, I thought the article was good, and I liked it, but some of those things we had sort of heard before. So the Eck on Eck documentary that a lot of us watched, they're not talking about
which was great, by the way.
But my point is they're not talking about the David Price thing,
exactly.
Right? They're not talking about that. So when it is brought up, all right, that is newsworthy. And I thought he essentially did give a no comment.
In effect, that's what he did.
He essentially did.
Chad Finn has written a follow-up piece in today's Globe.
He should. He's going to get some clicks.
Where it was basically, here's what really happened. And as he said, they spent a lot of time over 2 days, you know, talking in the course of preparing this long-form piece.
Yeah.
He said the Price situation encompassed about 2 minutes.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Because it was fairly clear that Eck, who can't ever say the two words no comment, I don't think those were in his vocabulary.
No, probably not, which is what makes him great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what he, in effect, was saying was, look, we're past it. You know, he doesn't want to talk to
me.
I don't really talk to him.
I don't care. And then, so Price just did not get all
the
story.
He never read the piece.
He never read
it. I guarantee you he didn't read it.
Oh, of course not. And then he's just being, he thinks that Eckersley is going on and on about it, which couldn't really be further from the truth. Eckersley does not talk about this. I remember in the games, in the immediate aftermath of that incident, when Dan Shaughnessy broke the story, it was a huge story. We talked about it for a while. And I remember, I think there was like really quickly thereafter, Dennis Eckersley was on the call of a game and Price was pitching. And everybody's like, ooh, boy.
What's he going to do?
Get your popcorn. Nothing. No. Just called the game like a normal person would call a game. There was nothing
well,
there.
Well, he can't call it like a normal person.
Well, I'm sorry.
He called it like Eck calls a game.
Let me take it back. Yeah, call it like any other Eck game. You're
yes,
right.
Exactly.
But then, you know, and we mentioned this yesterday, you know, we reached out to him. We would love to have him on the show, maybe to clear it up or get his side of it. He politely declined. I'm sure most...
He politely declined everyone.
Everyone.
Very politely. He just
everyone.
Said, look, I don't want to talk
and
about
Price
it.
And Price is making it out like he doesn't shut up about it. It's like, yeah, it's been 2 years ago. How many times has he talked about it? And guess what? He didn't bring it up. Like, that's the thing. That's what's crazy about it. And we can play some of the stuff because Price spoke for about 5 minutes or so yesterday. And a lot of it is it proves your point, Dale, that he didn't read it. And it also says, all right, who's really over it? You're claiming that Dennis Eckersley's not over it. But who seems to be more upset about the whole thing?
That was 2 years ago. Come on, dude.
Yeah, but and he's the one that's tweeting about it. He's the one that's holding like a mini little like a tiny little press conference in the clubhouse about it. He seems more aggravated still holding on to it than Eckersley does.
Let's start with this, and your point is exactly right. This was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Alex Cora was not the manager. John Farrell was the manager,
famously.
John Farrell completely screwed up how he handled it.
Yes, he did.
John Farrell is the one who could have changed things, could have changed the narrative, could have brought the two guys into his office, could have said, listen, we're not doing this on our airplane.
Yeah.
Instead, he was so afraid of pissing off his clubhouse
right.
that he felt like he had to defend his player even when he knew his player was wrong. So it was John Farrell then who didn't handle it properly.
Mm.
Alex Cora told OMF yesterday, yeah, I talked to him this morning about it.
Right.
I mean, Alex Cora understands, wait a minute. Let's talk here. Yeah, let's see what's going on.
What's going on? Because, again, he's overreacting to a non-comment, and then he's claiming that, you know, why does he keep talking about it? But no, he was asked about it. And then there's a part in there, and Sham, I don't know if you can find it. There was a part where somebody asked him, like, how would you want David Price – or I'm sorry, how would you want Dennis Eckersley to answer these questions? And Price says, oh, I don't care, but, like, don't bring it up. It's like, no, you do care. That's the whole point. You care very much. He did, like, that's what's so maddening about it. It's like you're talking to somebody where you know you're not going to change their mind, and he's so fired up, and David Price thinks he's in the right. He thinks that he's done everything right. He goes on to try to trash Dennis Eckersley, the person, essentially, by saying none of his teammates liked him, which is ridiculous.
I can tell you. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Sean, go ahead and play that part for me. Thank you.
David, how would you prefer he respond to questions when he is asked about it?
I don't care. So he doesn't want to talk about it. Like he said, he wants to move on. If you want to move on, you move on.
Yeah, but you have to say some word. Like, words have to come out of your mouth because guess what? I guarantee you no comment is still
worse.
A story.
It's worse.
You're right, because we can read into no comment.
Right.
We could say, well, what do you think it means by no comment? No comment is probably worse. So on the one hand, you're in kind of a tough spot. As soon as you are asked about it, you got to come up with something, and it can be twisted in any different direction. I thought what Eckersley said was like, listen, I took it as you don't need to be friends with everybody. Like, I'm not going to talk to him. He's not going to talk to me. He's moved on. I've moved on, and whatever. And then Price spins that as, oh, my God, this guy won't shut up about it. It's like, no, it was a long article, and it was one question in this whole article that was talking about, you know, drug abuse and everything else. So I just think Price is completely – I thought he was in the wrong then, and I think he's in the wrong again now.
I don't care.
Well, that is definitely true.
Yeah, probably not true. So Dennis Eckersley's got a lot of teammates who,
yeah,
you know, we've all talked to at different times. I can tell you I'm hard-pressed to find many other players who are more universally liked than Dennis Eckersley. I can't think of a single former player – who's got anything bad to say about him. Now, there are current players
who
don't always like him.
Well, it's Marcus Stroman and David
Price. Marcus
Stroman,
by the way, who is hated in his own clubhouse. I can tell you, being around the Blue Jays the last 3 days, they don't like this guy at all.
But you know who likes Stroman? David Price. David Price was sticking up for Stroman over Eckersley. Like, Stroman's not your teammate anymore. He is on the Blue Jays. That is a division opponent, and you are supporting him. It seems... He is just so mad at Eckersley that he's just blinded by it. You get the team broadcaster he's feuding with, so he's supporting Stroman. This is what he said about that.
I don't know. I mean, have you seen videos of Dennis Eckersley pitching? Have you seen the stuff that he did when he struck somebody out? Really? Like, shooting with a finger gun? Stuff like that? Stroman's out there yelling, yeah? No. He needs to wake up.
Who seems to be more over it? is that Dennis Eckersley, who had a two-sentence response to Chad Finn in an article, which was about 100% or 99% other things, or David Price, who holds his own five-minute thing. He's talking about his career. He's talking about how he calls a game. Talking about his teammates don't like him. That's wrong. And first of all, if you hate Dennis Eckersley so much, why did you watch the whole documentary about him? Or actually, it turns out you didn't watch the whole documentary about him.
No, you didn't.
You watched a couple of pieces.
You missed the guys who were on there.
Right. You saw a clip of Eckersley talking about himself, I guess. And guess what? That was the point of the documentary. He's one of the most entertaining guys in baseball in the last three decades of baseball, on the field and behind a microphone. So guess what? They're going to want to interview him for his own documentary. It's going to make it much more entertaining.
The producer of the documentary, Eck on Eck, for MLB.
You might want to include Eck in the film, yeah. Eck on Eck, by the way.
And the guy who produced it is a guy named Bruce Kornblatt, who I've worked with in the past, who has done some work.
He did Dale on Dale, this, I remember.
Yeah, that was a huge
I remember
huge
that.
Did some work on this and for this radio station.
Yeah.
Give Dan Shaughnessy credit. He reached out to Bruce Kornblatt yesterday and said, look, is this true that nobody wanted to talk? He said, we had lots of guys.
He's like, everybody we asked said yes.
And everybody that they talked to, they intentionally didn't fill it with former players. The title is Eck on Eck.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Dennis Eckersley talking about himself and his career and his teammate, but everybody that they asked said, yeah, sure.
Well, I think Chad Finn, I was reading some of his tweets because people were going nuts about him because he was the one that asked it and brought it back up and everything else, and then he got tied in with some of the questions about, you know, his teammates, and everybody that Chad reached out to talked to him, and he just said they were all just overwhelmingly praised. Like, they praised him. Like, they all loved him, and even the opponents. I mean, we talk about the Kirk Gibson stuff all the time. That could have been... Like, that shows you how thick a skin Eckersley has. That shows you a lot about a player who that could have been one of his worst moments. Giving up a game-winning home run in the World Series, like Mitch Williams style. But no, Eckersley bounces back from that and still has a good career after the fact. And yet, he's still willing to talk about that play, joke about that play, throw out the first pitch of Kirk Gibson, all of that stuff. So,
By the way, Kirk Gibson wanted to apologize to Eck.
Right.
For showboating, and Eck said, what are you kidding? Yeah, did you see how I was
so
out there?
The one thing I did have an issue with Eckersley, we talked about it at the time, is I thought it was very hypocritical about piling on Stroman. I actually like Marcus Stroman. Now, his Twitter stuff, whatever, I think he's entertaining. I think you need more of those guys in baseball. Eckersley was one of those guys in baseball, so that was weird. That didn't add up for me. But all of this David
Price
stuff.
But he also said afterwards about Stroman, he said, heck, probably people got sick of my act, too.
Yeah, like he came around
on it.
It
was back to that self-effacing, heck, people probably didn't like what I did either.
Right, exactly. And so he kind of changed his tune a little bit on that. But I just think that, you know, the more Price talks about it, like on Twitter, and then he's responding to people. We were reading those tweets yesterday. He's responding to just, you know, random fans on Twitter that's, you know, one guy was asking, why is this being brought up again? And one woman was just saying, you know, her opinion that she thought David Price was wrong, and then he snaps back at her.
Straight.
Yeah, like, come on. But hashtag stay tuned yesterday, because it was going to be lit. Sean, you're our lit expert. Do you think the little discussion in the locker room was lit?
I don't think it was quite as lit as we would hoped it would have been.
No, we were hoping for more litness.
Yeah, it was more just kind of, you know, stay tuned. I got some stuff.
Hashtag, I don't even know if it's worthy of a hashtag stay tuned, to be honest. He should have just said, I'll be talking to the media later. That's all you really needed.
If I got time.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. We'll see if I'm doing anything later.
How enjoy.
Yeah, he calls the whole thing trash. It just seems like a guy who's not gotten over it at all. Because Dale.
And here's the problem now.
Yeah.
Dennis Eckersley put himself out there, both in the Eck on Eck documentary and obviously for the Chad Finn lengthy piece that ran a couple of days ago. I bet Dennis Eckersley right now is going on. You know what? I'm never going to talk again. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens.
I know.
You know, it's going to come out a certain way. It's going to be bad. There were a couple of things in the Finn piece I didn't know. A couple of things that I learned. One is the way the Red Sox handled the situation is, media, you have to get on first now. Broadcasters, you have to get on the plane first.
What's going to happen?
Because you sit in the back of the plane, and that way you don't have to go near the baseball players on your way to your seat.
Don't you dare talk to the players. Like, we're all adults here. Like, how embarrassing is that?
Are we?
Because you've only done home games so far, right?
Yes.
So you haven't flown with the team yet.
Not this year.
Because that's the last thing we need is you to fight one of the guys on the team. That would be the worst. All of a sudden,
can it be Brock Holt? I need somebody closer to my size.
He's scrappy, though.
Yeah, but he's such a nice guy. He'll like, I don't really want to hurt you.
Talk him out of it, maybe. Those guys are sometimes the worst. They could really get after you.
Flip a switch.
He's probably good. He's got a little rage button.
I just, the whole thing, I didn't know about that. I didn't know that that's the way the Red Sox handled it. Was, here, you guys get on first, okay? And then the players can get on. They don't have to see you.
Yeah.
The other thing was, you know, the supposedly there was a meeting scheduled between Price and Eckersley.
Price claims that Eck backed out of it.
And Eck said, you know what? I'm good.
All set. You see, I think there's really no resolution, because it's one of those things where I'm sure we've all gotten a, like, fake apology from somebody. Like, what's the point?
No, that's never happened.
No, you maybe not. You've lived a great life, a charmed life. You've never received one of those. But everybody else, you've gotten one, and you're like, what's the point of this? Like, why am I going to move on from that? Like, you don't mean it. And I just – and it's funny, because going back to Price for a minute, there was some thought out there that after pitching so well in the playoffs and winning the World Series that things were going to be different. And let me ask you, if you take an a-hole – and then you win the World Series with the a-hole. Is he still an a-hole?
Apparently so.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first time this has come up, that has reared its head.
According to Price, it gets brought up all the time.
No, I mean the a-hole part.
Yeah.
You know, since the playoffs.
No, he'd been good.
First of all, he's been really good on the mound.
Well, he was very awkward. And, like, I'm not a huge fan, but it was very awkward, all of the I hold all the Trump cards now.
Yeah.
And then remember he tried making a joke at spring training?
Thing. It's like, wait a minute. It's like, no, there's nobody plays with the Jokers.
Well, there's four suits. Aces can be ones. And you're like, wait, what are you saying? And he's like, you guys can figure it out. There's two Jokers. And it didn't make any sense. And it was awkward. But there was nothing like this. This is the first time where you said, all right, here we go again.
This is the first time
here
it's
come up. Here
we
go again. Right.
Now,
he
claims it's because Eck keeps bringing it up.
I know, but it's ridiculous. He hasn't. Eck has, as far as I know, and he's never brought it up on his own.
No.
Ever.
Just the opposite.
Right.
In fact, I'm almost surprised. Now, in Chad Finn's case, if you're writing this piece, you have to ask.
Yeah, I have no problem with him asking.
No, not at all. You may not even expect to get an answer, but you have to ask.
No, I think Finn, it was the right thing to ask. I thought for Reamer, it was the right thing to post about. Because, again, it's a little bit different. It's a headline that, guess what? Everybody's still talking about it, so something tells me it worked.
Well, and Finn has posted a secondary piece.
How about that?
Today.
Follow-up articles. That's when you know it's good.
You know that whole idea of clickbait?
I do.
That's what we
It's a real thing.
Do.
Well, and sometimes the clickbait is just that. Then you get to the article, and you're like, ugh, this is useless. But this has ended up taking on a life of its own, and David Price ended up being a part of that the hits.
When I read the piece, I just sort of went right by that part because it was like, okay, well, he doesn't really want to
say anything. Yeah, because I read it the same way you did, as more of it's essentially a no comment. It's like X version of a no comment.
A polite no comment.
Yeah, and guess what? Because not everybody in the world doesn't have to get along. And so guess what? David Price can do his job not liking Eckersley. Eckersley can do his job without being friends with David Price. And to this point of the season, they both were. In fact, Eck's been doing more games this year than he was last year.
Traveling more, too.
And everything seems
getting on the plane first.
You better get on there first and don't make eye contact.
Go sit down.
Don't you dare look at him. Don't even talk about him.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We are down here at Fenway Park. We're in our center field studios here at Fenway.
It's raining. Sorry, Dale.
It's raining a lot less than it was when
like
I got here.
It's a mist.
When I got here, it was pouring.
Well, to beat the rain, you know what I did? I got out of my car. I did a Naruto run all the way to Fenway. I did. Yeah.
Did you bang into a wall?
No, I made great time. I cut through all the rain. You don't get wet if you do a Naruto run.
I was thinking as I was leaving the park at 11:36 last night.
Oh, who's counting?
There's a hotel right over there.
You should have stayed there.
I thought about it.
And then said you drove all the way home.
I drove
to
Bellingham and got up and drove back.
All the way back.
Yeah, well, 617-779-7937. Afternoon baseball is scheduled. They expect they're going to be able to play it here today. Chris Sale on the mound. That sort of a big deal for the Red Sox and an important start for him. He has not won a game here at Fenway Park, a regular season game, since last July 11th.
He's due.
Not the July 11th of
no,
a week ago.
No, he's overdue.
Yeah,
maybe.
He's sort of overdue. We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. It's Dale and Keefe, but first, we bring you Trending Now.
Back to Dale.
Dropping deuces right in front of you.
And Keefe.
TV, movies, video games, beer, and my dogs. All I need.
On WEEI.
Would you ever want to talk to him?
No. Mm-hmm. Why would I want to talk to him? Yeah. You know,
and you've had other guys who probably didn't like you, or
he's not the first guy who doesn't like me. I get it.
That was Eck last year, or 2 years ago, I guess, with Bradfo. And that was one of the few times Eck ever talked about it, was with Rob.
Again, he was asked about it.
Right.
Eckersley's not, like, going out on Twitter. And he's on Twitter, by the way. And he's not going out on this.
By the way, he's a terrible Twitter follower. Come on, Eck.
And then, like, he's
bring
not
us some of that cheese and hair and stuff to
no,
Twitter.
No, no. It's funny, because some people are better on Twitter than they are on the air. And then there are people who are better on the air than on Twitter. Eckersley would fall into that category. But he's on TV a lot. If he wanted to talk about it, Dale, he could. He'd be like, hey, O'Brien, just hold on a second. I got something I can
got
get
some
off my
stuff
chest.
To get out of the way here.
These are long games. I don't know if you've noticed. These are long games. He has a lot to. He has a chance to talk about a lot of things, and he doesn't. So the whole idea that David Price thinks that Eckersley keeps bringing it up is just, that could not be more wrong.
All right, so let's switch gears just a little bit here, because I found it interesting, the introduction of the two newest members of the Celtics yesterday.
Love those guys.
How could you not?
First I love all, those
let's
guys.
Let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
It's Ennis.
Ennis.
Danny Ainge wanted to make sure people understood it's Ennis.
Not
it's
Enos.
Not Enos. Not Anus.
Well, I'm not mature enough for that. No, I understand. I heard Mutt say that. That's classic. That's to his character, though. That's what he is.
It's Ennis. And,
Ennis. Like the letter N and the letter S.
And by
Ennis.
The way, even if he can't play defense, I like him.
I don't care. He's hilarious. He's making fun of Kyrie. Awesome.
So then you get these stories about Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
And you know, as the day went on, we learned more and more. There's a couple of them here. One, we know that he called Enes Kanter on Danny Ainge's phone
right.
to try to recruit Kanter to come to the Celtics.
And got
love
him.
That.
Got him.
We find out after the whole thing was over that yesterday morning he's at the Auerbach Center early to get a workout in.
Yeah, the guy means business.
He was working out at the Auerbach Center to get that in, get it out of the way. And then we find out that the night before, he's at Brad Stevens' house.
Oh, my God.
Breaking down film with film. Brad Stevens.
Pretty good. And he talked about how important it is to have a good relationship with Stevens. I mean, my God. Like, that was just so anti-Kyrie, it wasn't even funny. My question to you, Dale, would be, is it safe for me to fall in love again? Because when Kyrie Irving came over here,
you fell head over heels.
I loved Kyrie Irving, and it was, this guy doesn't like LeBron, or at least so I thought. I'm like, this guy is perfect. Great player, anti-LeBron and on the Celtics.
You were ready to adopt him.
That was my guy.
Yeah.
That was my guy. Things could not have gone worse. It could not have gone worse. Like, if you said at that time, at the moment that they traded for him, and you scripted out what actually happened, nobody would have believed you. You're like, that's insane.
No,
so,
that's true.
So this guy's going to do a commercial about wanting his jersey retired, and then like a day later he's going to tell Spencer Dinwiddie that he wants out, and then a couple months later he's going to tell Ainge that he probably wants out, and then he's going to leave. Made no sense. Kemba Walker, there are no warning signs. There are none. Kyrie Irving
He calls Antoine Walker to ask if it's okay that he wears number 8.
And no, you know, disrespect to Antoine Walker.
He's been gone for a while
now. I would say
now.
No jeopardy of it going up in the rafters. I loved Antoine. Nice player, all-star, and whatever else, but you didn't necessarily need to clear it with him, but he did. Yeah, I think people are going to absolutely love Kemba Walker.
So
I think
it's
Enes
one of
Kanter
two things
they're going to love. Yeah.
I've decided about Kemba Walker. All either this is the real deal.
I think
what
so.
You see is what you get.
Oh, you're not
and,
saying he's
in,
a fraud,
in which
are
case,
you?
It's safe for you to fall in love again.
Don't you say he's a fraud.
The other part is, this is the biggest baby face turn in the history of sports. We're going to do everything we can do to convince you this is a baby face before the big heel turn.
No, it was me, Oscar.
Life.
It was me all along.
Yeah.
No, it better not. I mean, I think, and it's funny because well before the press conference and well before this other stuff, Jeff Goodman and others, as soon as the link was Celtics are getting Kemba Walker, it was just story after story about, you will love this guy. He is genuine. He is a leader. He's a guy. And some of the stuff sounds stupid, and as a fan, you might not care that much about it, but things like, he'll take his teammates out for dinner and pick up the tab, or he'll do all this stuff. And he claims he's a lead-by-example guy, but it's also other stuff where he'll help out the young players. He talks about how important it is to have a good relationship with Brown and Tatum and Hayward. And think about all the connections already. Like, he was on a – didn't he just say he was on a trip with Jaylen Brown to Africa? I believe it was with Jaylen Brown. He did the trip, the Jordan brand stuff with Jason Tatum. He joked about how Gordon Hayward actually was given an offer sheet with the Charlotte Hornets a few years ago when he was a free agent before the Utah Jazz matched it. So he got his hopes up then that he was going to play with Gordon Hayward. He's the one who recruited Kanter. Like, he's going on and on and on. And also for him – super important that the team is good because he has spent his whole career in Charlotte. They've made the playoffs twice, and he's never gotten out of the first round. So it's all nice and great to say, hey, I'm a winner, and I'm looking forward to this. But for him, he needs to advance deep into the playoffs.
I know Jaylen Brown as well, a little bit. We went to Africa together a few years ago, so we, you know, kind of built a relationship.
So there you go. He's buddies with these guys. Kyrie Irving was never really buddies with these guys. I mean, he apparently got along with Tatum, but everybody else, it didn't seem like there was much of a relationship.
I'm not trying to ruin this for you because I want you to fall in love again.
Oh, my God. What are you going to say now?
But I'm going to ask this.
All right.
Does it give you pause? I mean, this guy sounds like Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, he does.
And Michael Jordan let him go.
Yes. Great question, Dale. Michael Jordan, an idiot.
Okay, all right, well,
Michael Jordan.
All right,
Michael
okay.
Jordan is an idiot, the best basketball player of all time. That doesn't mean you should own a team and draft players and make trades and choose who you're going to sign with. In another circumstance, if he was on another team, I think it would be a red flag. A guy who played his whole career there, they have not had any good players. The last 10 years, I mean, how long has it been since Grandmama and Alonzo Mourning were there? Or Glenn Rice? It's been a long time since they've had star players there. Kemba Walker has been their best player for a long time. They do not offer him the Supermax. By all accounts, they didn't even offer him like the regular max. But this is also the same team that turned down 4 first-round picks just so they could draft Frank Kaminsky.
That was a good plan, wasn't it?
So come on. So I don't feel as bad about it. But you're right. If it was a real organization, a real owner, and a real GM down there, and they said, no, we don't want Kemba, then that would make a little bit
There'd
more
be
sense.
Bells going on.
That would make a little bit more sense. But the Celtics wanted him. He's a good replacement. And you know what? Great. It's actually probably better that they didn't offer him a contract. That means you're doing something right.
Well,
just because that's all I know. Uh-huh. I've been in for 8 years now, and that's... I just all I know. Fell in love with that place. Got my first opportunity there. But it was time. Yeah, it was time. You know, I can't say it enough, but, you know, when I first got drafted, I said in my interview that I was going to give Charlotte everything I got. You know what I mean? And that's what I did.
Yeah.
I gave him everything I had for 8 straight years. And just had time to move on.
I mean, they surrounded him with a bunch of
Drek.
Losers. Awful. Like, awful teammates across the board. Because that was one of the things, like, you got to give him credit, too. Like, it says something about the person that he is. I mean, think about it. The other difference between Kyrie Irving and Kemba Walker. Kyrie Irving was on a winner and demanded a trade.
Get away from here.
Kemba Walker was on a loser.
An NBA championship team.
Oh, yeah. And won it out.
They won the whole – and you know what? I got to go.
And said, I got to leave. I want out of here. From a winner, wants out. Kemba Walker was on an absolute loser. And he said it was such a hard decision because he had played his whole career there. He wanted to win for that team. And he couldn't do it, and he's talking about how difficult it was to you know, leave that team. So you can only imagine, if he gets some success, how committed he's going to be to the Celtics.
So I guess, according to Kemba, his mom also told him it was time.
Yeah, it was time. She's like, Charlotte stinks. She's like, what are we doing down here?
Maybe we put more words in her mouth than she actually
Something
said.
Something tells me, though, Dale, if he was offered the Supermax, it would have been time to stay. It would have been time to stay a little bit longer, about 5 more years.
Everything about yesterday, from a Celtics perspective, from a PR perspective.
It seemed like a good time, didn't it?
It was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, you get Enes Kanter making fun of, he wants to be the reason nobody wears number 11 again.
Hilarious.
He's making fun, obviously,
Kyrie.
Of the last guy who did a commercial with his dad about retiring that number.
I mean, think about that. So you have the one guy kind of poking fun at Kyrie Irving, and then you have the other guy appealing to the longer-time Celtics fans. Not super old school, but a little bit older school. And Kemba Walker reaching out to Antoine to see if he can wear his number. So, like, those two guys already seem like they get it. Like,
I want to be the reason that no one asked for it.
So good. And they definitely laughed about that. That was funny. By the way,
everybody says Kyrie Irving's a better basketball player than Kemba Walker.
He is. You really can't argue it the other way. You can't.
But I think Celtics fans would rather have this guy.
I think they definitely
would. Except Wiggy. Wiggy would rather have Kyrie. But
Wiggy's the one guy. He's the lone voice in a lot of subjects, it seems like.
Could be.
But that's fine. But I think, and Danny Ainge has even admitted it too in some of the interviews that he has done, you know, and yesterday, talking about how chemistry was a problem. Like, during the season, it's harder to really just come out and say that because it's like, all right, we'll do something about it. But afterwards, you can say chemistry was an issue, and he's not trying to blame any one single player. You know, we are blaming Kyrie, but he doesn't. But to Ainge's point, if chemistry is so important, maybe you can take a little bit of a step down just straight up talent-wise if everybody gets along better. Maybe you'll win more games.
I was happy that Danny was able to be a little more forthright yesterday than he was earlier, because
yeah.
as the season was rolling on, and we're all saying he ain't coming back, there's no right. way he's coming back, and Danny Ainge is saying, oh no, we're confident, we're gonna
yeah.
we're going, what is he thinking? He actually admitted yesterday.
No,
I've known since like December or something.
Well, so no, there's a difference. So it was Spencer Dinwiddie came out and said December. He was talking with Kyrie, and Kyrie was thinking about leaving then. But that was also when Kyrie made that commercial about having his jersey retired.
Right.
Then it was around March, April, which again I think lets Danny off the hook a little bit, because it was after the All-Star break. It was after the trade deadline, and it seems like, all right, here's where. He wasn't 100% sold. And again, there were sort of highs and lows with Kyrie, because when they swept the Indiana Pacers in the first round, aren't you probably telling yourself, well, I don't know. And you win game one against the Bucks, you're thinking, well, why would he want to leave this? And then you get smacked four straight games. He clearly doesn't get along with all of his teammates, nor respect his coach, and he's done. But it was definitely an up-and-down thing between Ainge and Kyrie all year.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're down here at Fenway Park, broadcasting live from our center field studios. We'll be here till noon. We get you to the pregame show for Red Sox baseball. Will Fleming will take over at noon. Then I'll be in the booth with Joe Castiglione and Lou Maloney beginning at 1:05. And you know what?
What's that?
I think it's done raining.
Yeah, Lucy, you were right.
Thank you, Lucy.
Cleared up. Beautiful day out there.
Lucy Schwegler over here got it correct again.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be playing baseball here this afternoon. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
I think it just depends on the situation. I'm not a rah-rah guy. If I had something to say, I'm going to say it, though. But I'm more of a guy who say things in a positive way. You know, everybody's different. You know, you could talk to guys in a different way. I just let things flow. You know, if I'm doing something, if I'm working hard, you know, I feel like, you know, that's how guys have to be. I try to lead by example for the most part. You know, that's the kind of guy I am. Never going to really scream at anybody or anything like that. I think chemistry is important. You know, I think, you know, the team has to be together. That's one thing that, you know, throughout my career, you know, I try to, you know, do, you know, team activities and, you know, small things like that. I'm more of a lead by example kind of guy.
Bowling? Do you think bowling?
I thought pizza party last year would have been important.
You were
big on
the pizza party.
You know
thing.
What you can do is, though, you can have a pizza party at a bowling alley, and you get the pitchers of soda come over,
kill all the birds with one stone.
You're all best buds. That's what they should do, and I bet Kemba has already thought of that.
That's the anti-Kyrie, Kemba Walker. Now, here's the, again, I'm...
Could not be more different.
I'm not trying to point out all the negatives. I'm trying to...
Name one negative about this.
Well, I gave you a couple already, and you've shot them down appropriately.
Well, your first one was that the Hornets didn't offer him a
right.
deal. But even
and
you have to realize that
Michael Jordan's an idiot.
Freaking Jordan doesn't know what he's doing.
All right, so supposedly one of the issues last year,
yeah,
from the Celtics' perspective, is you had these young guys who, you know, aren't making the big money yet, want to be able to make the big money.
Right.
Thought that Kyrie was holding them back.
Yes.
Now, they've just added a teammate who's going to make a whole lot more than they're making.
Makes a lot of money.
And, you know, the financial, if it was indeed a factor for those young guys, for Tatum and Brown, it's still going
to
be there.
But I think what they need to figure out, and I don't know if it's Kemba that has to tell them this, or Danny Ainge that tells them this, or Brad Stevens that tells them this, when you're a rookie in the NBA, you can only make so much. There's nothing the Celtics can do right now. They can't say, hey, Jason Tatum, we're going to give you this supermax deal. They need to wait.
But I think their argument is, so I got to get my numbers so that when it's my turn, I can cash in.
But what you also need to do is convince them that when you win, that's also better. If you're on a winning team, you're going to cash in. And then you can go and show examples of players. A lot of guys cashed in. Be like, hey, remember Terry Rozier? He played less than both of you guys. And I'm assuming we're talking to Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum.
Right.
He played less than both of you. He kind of stunk, and he's getting $19 million a year. Just enjoy, like, figure out the process, and you're going to be fine. If you're still going to make a lot of money. If both of those guys were free agents right now, somebody would pay them a lot of money. It's the NBA. The contracts are going up, up, and up. So if that's really a problem, like, I don't know if Kemba can solve that, but clearly Kyrie Irving couldn't.
Let's get to the calls with you at 617-779-7937. Chris in Fall River. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Chris.
Dale, Keith, some of my favorites. Thanks for taking my call.
Nice, sure.
Hey, you're kind of getting right actually to my point here in that in the Kemba Kyrie debate, everybody's talking, okay, Kyrie's a better player, he's a better leader, but nobody seems to mention the money.
I just want to back you up just a little bit. Nobody's saying Kyrie's a better leader.
Yeah, he's the worst leader.
Oh, sorry. I think I said it backwards. I got that backwards. Player versus better leader.
Right.
I love to take a call here. Anyway, so what people never mention is that to pay Kyrie, you'd have been paying him the Supermax on a 5-year deal. You know, when you look at what's going on with, like, Chris Paul right now, these guys who are making $45, $50 million a year, you're looking at Kemba at, what, 35, something like that, and at the same time, that's like $10 to $15 million a year more that is on the table for the Celtics because they took him. So you take a slight downgrade of a player, but now you've got a lot more money when Jason Tatum comes around, when Jaylen Brown comes around. And I just don't know if you think that's as big a factor as I am and why nobody's talking about the value for Kemba Walker at just a max contract for 4 years. And some of these guys, that they'll, you know, a lot of times you don't want to give them the longer-term deal because they fall off. They're still pretty young. But yeah, you don't have to pay him that long-term deal. You get like you win on both ends with his contract. And nobody's talking about the money side of it. I just want to hear your thoughts on that, guys.
All right. I mean, I think just because the salary cap, we didn't talk a lot about it because it is so convoluted. And, like, yes and no. If you're paying Kyrie Irving a little bit less, yeah, like, overall, it means you can spend a little bit more. But everybody's over the cap anyway. It's all about signing your own guys. So whether they had Kyrie or Kemba, I think their chances of re-signing Tatum and Brown, if they want those guys, is the same. That's how I read it. So that's why I don't think anybody's really made a big deal out of it.
Another piece of evidence that Danny Ainge provided yesterday about the difference in attitude and spirit and camaraderie and all that. Danny offered this up. Gordon Hayward sold his San Diego house. He and his family are moving here full time.
How about that?
And
then he's going to trade him.
Sorry, but you got to go, Gordon. And Danny has talked about how already you've got guys in the facility every day. They're working out all the time.
Yeah.
They've got this Taj Mahal of a practice facility.
They're pros. They should be motivated all the time. But Kyrie Irving leaving them and Al Horford choosing Philly over staying here has to motivate the hell out of all those guys. Everybody's saying that Tatum and Brown and Hayward, I mean, those three specifically, it always comes back to those three. But everybody on this team, Brad Stevens, everybody has to prove that they're better without Kyrie Irving. So it's going to be – and Kyrie's going to be motivated in Brooklyn too, don't get me wrong. But the guys here in Boston, I think, are going to be playing their asses off.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're down here at Fenway Park. The rain has stopped here at Fenway. There will be baseball this afternoon, 105 first pitch. Chris Sale on the mound for the Red Sox. We'll be on with you for another hour or so, getting you up to pregame show with Will Fleming. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.